Turkish voters will go to the polls to elect a new president in what is one of the most important elections of 2023. According to the latest polling, Turkey's united opposition poses an unprecedented challenge to Erdogan's rule. Is this the end of Erdogan, or will he pull out another ace card? Here to discuss this is Geopolity founder Adnan Khan. How are you keeping, Adnan? I feel like it's been a while since we've done a podcast.
I'm good, Yusuf. Yes, it has been a couple of weeks. I think just the end of Ramadan, and then I was away for about a week. So yeah, it's good to be back.
Back to business, eh?
Yeah.
So the first question I've got for you, Adnan, is Erdogan, whenever you hear Turkey, it's synonymous with Erdogan. He's been in power for such a long time. Yet this time, this election, he's actually behind in the polls. What's going on? Why has this happened?
Yusuf, you're absolutely right. Any discussion of modern Turkey is synonymous with Erdogan. I was just having a look yesterday, Yusuf. 43% of Turkey's population has known no leader apart from Erdogan. So nearly half of the Turkish population, they've only seen Erdogan in power. They've seen no other leader. That's how long he's been in power. He's been in power since 2023. And that success is also partially his problem today. He's been in power for a long time. And the longer you stay in power, the more people you upset. So that's why for a lot of people, it's quite surprising because he comes across as a strongman leader, as some people call him an autocrat or the Sultan. So how is he behind in the polls? Well, when you've been in power for 20 years, more and more people will start to focus on the things that are not right, the things that have not actually changed. And there's two things really that are really impacting him currently, and especially in the polls. The first is, for a long time, Erdogan was synonymous with Turkish economic growth. When he came into power in 2003, Turkey's economy was around $200 billion GDP. And by 2016, Turkey's economy wasn't too far from a $1 trillion economy. Now it's around $800 billion. It's been around there for a while. So under him, the economy has grown significantly. The wealth of the country has increased, and people can clearly see Turkey's economy is in a very, very different position. However, for the last few years, a lot of this is catching up now. Many people can see that a lot of this development has been on borrowed money. That money now, that debt, is now around half of the GDP that has to be repaid back in dollars. That has caused a currency crisis. And inflation currently, Yusuf, is running nearly, well, it's above 80%. It's nearly even 100% sometimes. So that is really hurting people. So for a long time, Erdogan was synonymous with stable, developing economy. That's not the case anymore. So that's going against him. The other thing that's really hurt him is the earthquake that happened the end of the year, early this year. The response was really bad from the government. And also what it revealed was the lots of construction that's taken place in Turkey over the last two decades, where a lot of the rules, a lot of the regulation has been flouted. Now, one of the things Erdogan did is all of his supporters were given a lot of privileges in terms of building permission, things like that. You've now had an earthquake, and it's clear for everyone that a lot of Erdogan's supporters have been flouting planning permission. So many of these homes that were affected by the earthquake, what's actually happened is because they've been built upon the earthquake plates, which you shouldn't be building, and they've also not been using adequate building material. Obviously, when the earthquake happened, these areas were devastated. So many people in the earthquake, they didn't die from the earthquake itself. They actually died from the buildings falling in upon them. And the buildings were built with very shoddy material, and regulation wasn't followed. So these two things have really, really hurt Erdogan. Probably the main thing that's changed, the third thing really, and probably the main, is the opposition is more united. Erdogan for a long time has been able to divide the opposition. So you've got this six-way coalition. And so these three things are really going against Erdogan. It probably may not mean he will lose. However, this is like this week, this is the main discussion going into the elections.
Now, the opposition, I find it quite unusual, actually, because six parties come together. I think the only thing that unites them is their opposition to Erdogan. But otherwise, how united are their views on economy, on foreign affairs, as in what are the policies that they're going to implement when it is across six parties?
Yeah, so you're right. The glue that is binding all these groups together is the fact that they hate Erdogan, is the fact that they want Erdogan gone, is the fact that over two decades, Erdogan has centralized the country more and more around him. And in the past, because the opposition was divided, that worked in Erdogan's favor. So over the years, they've managed to work out that actually, in order to unseat Erdogan, in order to remove the AKP from power, getting a majority, they need to work collectively rather than work separately. But even in the past, some of these coalition parties, the six-way coalition, what you find, Yusuf, is some of them were even in coalition with Erdogan over the years. So if we look at this six-way coalition, they're calling it the National Alliance, quite creative in the name they got for themselves. The main party is obviously the CHP, the Republican People's Party. So this is Mustafa Kemal's party originally. This is the party that was in power for a long period of Turkey's history. Obviously, over the recent history, they've fallen behind. And this, their leader, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, he's their leader at the moment. And he's the individual they've put forward to be the president if they win. Now, this coalition has been coming together over the last couple of years. So for a few years, it was only two parties. Now it's become six parties. However, at least three of the party, they've only got like one member of parliament. So you've got the Republican Party, they've got the most MPs in parliament. Then you've got the Good Party, which is a right-wing party. They've got about 36 MPs. And then you've got the Democratic Party, the third one, which is a centre party. They've only got two politicians. The rest have only got one MP. So really, although this is a six-way coalition, really it's a two-way coalition. The other parties really don't have any MPs, and it's unlikely they're going to win loads of different MPs. However, they presented a unified front that has captured the imagination of people who don't like Erdogan. It's captured the imagination of the secularists. And many people feel now that they're in probably the best position they've been in for a long time to potentially unseat Erdogan from his position. Now, obviously, you mentioned, Yusuf, their policies and their agenda. Being a six-way coalition has been a bit of a struggle, really, to come up with a cohesive plan of what they plan to do. Their main agenda has been is they want to reverse the presidential system Erdogan has. They want to reduce the power the president has. And actually, they plan to invest more in the economy and fix the economic problems they've got. So a lot of this, you could argue, Yusuf, these are populist agenda items. So it will remain to be seen how much they can physically implement. However, effectively, they're taking all the positions that people aren't happy, who don't like Erdogan, who are unhappy with Erdogan, they're taking those positions. And remember, this party, you know, you've got the Kemal Atatürk CHP, you've got right wingers, you've got centre guys. So it's not the most cohesive coalition. Nevertheless, the only way they can stand up against Erdogan in this election is if they all work together. And they're doing that for the moment. So it remains to be seen if they can really make a dent into Erdogan's power, where he's been there for nearly two decades.
With this party being more secular, how much backing do they actually have from the public in terms of their secular policies?
So there's a lot of people, when they look at Erdogan, he doesn't resonate with them because he comes across Islamic. He is not overtly secular. He supported Islamic positions like the hijab. So there is a chunk of Turkey that is not the vision they have for Turkey. They see Turkey as a secular nation. They see Turkey as a modern nation. They see the nation more going towards Europe rather than the Middle East. So for them, they've always had a problem with Erdogan and they've always been supporting more secular parties, but the secular parties just haven't been very successful. That's really the biggest problem they've actually had. Now, I feel, Yusuf, is a lot of the support for the opposition isn't even to do with secularism. It's really, this is what Erdogan out. They want a new leader. Erdogan's a long-term leader, and that's really their support. So in fact, if you look, Yusuf, at the election campaign, it's not an election campaign based on secularism versus Islam, which it has been in the past. It's really between Erdogan's run the country into the ground. He's run the economy into the ground. He let the people down in the earthquake. He's got too much power. And the National Alliance is saying, we're going to reverse that. We're going to fix the economy. We're going to get rid of the presidential system, go back to the old parliamentary system. Even the leader of the CHP, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, so this is Mustafa Kemal's party. He's now saying it was wrong of this party in the past to ban the hijab. Now, that's quite a unique moment. Mustafa Kemal's party, who took pride in banning the hijab, who took pride in removing Islam, is now saying what we did was wrong. But he realized this is public opinion in the country. But this election is not being fought upon religious grounds. it's not election between secularism and Islam. It's actually an election between, are they going to run the country to the ground and we can make it better?
So I guess the question is Erdogan worried? Does he think he's got it in the bag? Is he concerned?
So Erdogan hasn't shown it, but this is probably the election where even before the election day, he's behind. This has never happened before. Erdogan has won successive elections. He's won a majority in most of them. Erdogan actually a very good campaigner. He's shown that no matter how bad things are, he can campaign really, really well. He's got a major support base. However, the opposition is united, and that's probably the new challenge he's got now. So he's tried to disunite the opposition. Some of the senior leaders of the six-way coalition, they were imprisoned. They were banned from making certain speeches. However, Erdogan's got advantages. And these are advantages he's been working on for the last two decades. Erdogan is the leader of the state. He's the leader of the government. He's the leader of the AKP. 80% of Turkey's media supports the AKP. The judiciary takes its cue from the AKP. The civil service takes its cue from the AKP. So Erdogan is using the state and the government and national resources for his own advantages and benefit. So for example, there's not been much media coverage of the post-earthquake reconstruction. What Erdogan's been doing, they've been pushing out how Erdogan's been very successful economically. He's been very successful industrially. That's what they've been pushing. They've been trying to focus on Erdogan's track record, even though inflation is running at 80%. So that's why in many ways, Yusuf, the opposition is handicapped, because Erdogan is utilizing state resources for his personal use. And that's why in the past it's actually been very, very difficult. However, as you mentioned in your question, Yusuf, he is technically behind in the polls. We do need to be careful how we take the polls. But I would say this is probably the most polarized election campaign in his whole career. And even the opposition, Yusuf, it includes two former AKP officials. So Ahmet Davutoğlu, who was his second man in charge in the AKP, he's obviously left the party eventually, and he's also joined the opposition as well. So yes, Erdogan probably is worried, but Erdogan has the advantages of having all these resources at his disposal, which the opposition doesn't have.
Now, if Erdogan loses, it's quite a big thing. First of all, he's been in power for 20 years. And secondly, it's obviously because it's a presidential system now. What does it mean if he loses? Is there a way that he can contest the decision? Does he go away quietly?
So what Erdogan will probably do, there's two things. Firstly, the opposition have made it clear they plan to expose and hold to account everything Erdogan did. So naturally, we've seen with the earthquake and the housing boom, there's been a lot of corruption. There's been a lot of regulation breaking. And every once in a while, there are details of backdoor deals between Erdogan and other members. So this is one of the reasons why Erdogan needs to stay in power. Erdogan needs to be in power behind the scenes, because there's probably a lot of skeletons in his closet he probably wouldn't want to become public. So if the opposition win, the first thing they'll do is they'll mar him in court cases. And Erdogan did a similar thing with the army. When he came into power, Erdogan accused the army of trying to overthrow him, and he dragged them through the court for about 10 years. That's what makes his election even more important, that if he loses, it is going to be the end of Erdogan. Obviously, he will probably make use of state resources. He'll probably call for corruption. Even at the last election, Yusuf, in the first round, the AKP didn't win a majority. So they had to build a coalition government, which they were unable to do. But then they had to go to elections again. And Erdogan used the anti-Kurdish sentiment in order to get a majority again. So Erdogan will probably use tactics like that. I don't think, you know, he's going to resort to assassinations, things like that. It's more he will muddy the waters. He'll make it very difficult for the opposition to rule. But even if the opposition win, if they win the president, they still need to win the majority in parliament. If they don't win that, it's likely the state resources will all still favour Erdogan. So Erdogan stacked the bureaucracy, the judiciary, even the military now. He stacked them off pro-AKP people. So if Erdogan does lose, it's a massive problem for him. However, he still has cards he can play.
Do you think it's going to be a fair election?
I don't think Turkey generally has fair elections. Remember, all these state resources are in the AKP's hands. I think the question here is the corruption so bad? Is it so unfair? It becomes problematic. That hasn't happened before. But because this may be so close, there is a possibility there may be more corruption. So the way the presidency works, Yusuf, is you need a simple majority. If there's not a majority, then it goes to a second round, and the second round likely will be directly between Erdogan and Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the National Alliance head. And then the thing you get then is everyone has to vote for these two candidates only. The other candidates are all gone. And that's where Erdogan might have the advantage if it goes to that. But the fact that this might go to a second round shows you that Erdogan's position is ebbing away. This didn't happen. In the past, Erdogan won these positions outright. So that shows you things are ebbing away. And really, Erdogan probably does need to start thinking about a transition. He needs to start building somebody else. He needs to start building the AKP. So maybe he can rule behind the scenes, become like Putin, for example, or become like the army in some of the Muslim world, where you rule behind the scenes, but there's another ruler. At the moment, there doesn't seem to be opposition to Erdogan in his own party. It still seems to be a cohesive party. There's no strong personality that can challenge Erdogan in the AKP. So that works for him going forward. But really, two decades in power, he does need to start thinking about the future.
Now, obviously, a fair election, the focus would be on the policies. Is Erdogan actually presenting any policies which would get him the support of the people? Or is it the same as previous?
No, so if you look at most of Erdogan's campaigns historically, it's all been on his personality. So his main policy, well, his main narrative is look at what's happened to the economy and industry and construction under the AKP. Under the AKP, the economy's grown, there's more wealth, Turkey's in a better place economically, and industrially we're in a better place. So his whole campaign has been, look at my track record, right? He's not talking about the opposition. He keeps saying that the opposition is going to mess it all up. Do you really trust the opposition in government? We're in a really, really good place. Look at what I've done. Do you really want the opposition to come and mess it all up? So his whole campaigning is on his history. It's all on his track record. And yeah, we'll have to see whether that is enough for people to continue voting for him.
What's the wider implications of this election for not just Turkey, but the rest of the world, Turkey's allies?
So this is quite important, Yusuf, because what you find is Erdogan, he's done a lot for Turkey internally. He's achieved a lot. Externally, it's a bit of a mixed bag. There's a lot of people that don't like him. So the Greeks, the French, they don't like him. In America, they've been very happy with Turkey. However, there seems to be some opposition, although quite small, against Erdogan as well, because there's a feeling that Erdogan is becoming too powerful. So the electoral result here is really, really important. The National Alliance, they're saying that they want to pursue European Union talks. European Union talks have completely come to a standstill now because of what's happened to Turkey internally, but also because the EU has got grave doubts of where it's going to land. So I think there's a lot of people in Europe who would like to see the back of Erdogan. They feel Erdogan is a smooth operator and he's managed to insert Turkey into so many regional issues, Libya, into Azerbaijan, into Iraq, into the Palestinian issue, into Syria. EU energy security, Turkey's central to that, but all the pipelines will go through Turkey. So people like the French would really, really like to see the back of him. The Americans, although there's a bit more opposition, America has had a very good relationship with Erdogan. Erdogan has been very useful in American policies. Erdogan has been very smooth in how he's brought different factions to the negotiating table. And America's quite happy with that. And they feel Erdogan is a very useful ruler, especially in the Muslim world, to actually work with. However, opposition is growing against Erdogan in America. There are many congressmen who feel he's becoming too powerful. However, from a cost-benefit analysis, he's way more useful to have a relationship with than somebody else. Now, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, interestingly, Yusuf, he's actually a serial loser. And I don't mean that in an offensive way. What I mean is he stood for elections so many times. He's been pulled forward so many times, but he constantly loses. So that's what I mean. He's actually a serial loser. But they couldn't agree on a candidate for the six-way coalition, so they chose him. So he doesn't really have a good track record. The only advantage he has is the fact that he's not Erdogan. He has no track record. He's from the outside. So that goes in his actual favour. And the fact that, he said something quite shocking. He actually admitted that it was wrong of his party to ban the hijab. So you can see now he's trying to reach over to Erdogan's support base. So the implications are quite big. It's Erdogan who's navigated Turkey into the position it's in. the relationship of America with Europe, with the Middle East, Erdogan's been central to that. Now, are there other politicians that can do that? I think it's doubtful. And also, it's possible if Erdogan loses the election, Turkey focuses on internal matters rather than external. Erdogan, because he's been very successful in elections, he's not had to focus internally. He's been completely focused on Turkey's global position. The next leader does seem to be, we need to be more focused internally. We need to be more focused on fixing the problems created by the AKP. So yeah, the big implications for Turkey's regional and global role. And yeah, a lot of this does depend on what the electoral result will be on May the 14th.
Final question for you, Adnan. Who do you think is going to win?
So I think it's a difficult one to call, Yusuf. I think, you know, my view has generally been, Yusuf, that not too much changes with elections. The underlying nature of nations is already determined. They don't really change. What changes the styles and means? Turkey is still an important country in the world. So whoever the leader is, Turkey still remains important. Yes, Erdogan has made his personality more and more the political system. I think potentially it will go to a second round. And I think Erdogan will probably win there. And I just think he's much more charismatic. And also he's just got much more experience and more tools at his disposal compared to the opposition.
Thanks for your time today, Adnan. If you want to learn more about the issues we've raised today, you can check out our website, www.thegeopolitics.com. You can also learn more on other issues by accessing our website, where you'll find comprehensive insights, analysis, articles, and deep dives. Thank you for listening.